Okay, we're in Simas Amos Zayin, the halachis of Shemitah being Mishamit. And I think what we've seen is that there's a cross-section with a lot of other dinim of Chayshe Mishpat. The Raman Sivav brings a halacha which is seen as a klal for other halachis actually related to Yerideya. The Raman Sivav, the Mechaber in Sivav said that Shemitah is Mishamit a Shvua as well. In other words, if Ruvain owes Shimon money and Shemitah passes, it's Mishamit. If Ruvain owes Shimon a Shvua, he's a Maida B'Miksas. So even if he would be Maida in the whole thing, Shemitah would be Mishamit. So when he's a Maida B'Miksas, Shemitah is Mishamit a Shvua. That's what we learned in the Mechaber of Sivav. The Ramah adds something that has to do with a different kind of shvua. Someone lends someone money, and he makes him promise to pay. And he has to pay anyway, but he makes him promise to pay. I guess he feels that he's chashir amamin and he's not so chashir ashvua. So maybe he won't pay me back, but if I make him promise to pay, then he'll pay me back. Well, the oral shvua is definitely a shvua. The question of ksiva shvua is a shvua is that machlekes Rabbi Akiva Eiger and his uncle, the famous machlekes, the day Rabbi Akiva Eiger got married in his yeshiva where he came from. Rabbi Akiva Eiger learned by his uncle. Rabbi Akiva Eiger's last name was not Eiger, his last name was Gans, right? So he learned by an uncle named Eiger from before his bar mitzvah. He got married not long after his bar mitzvah, and the day of his wedding, his friends, in those days, they didn't provide tickets for everyone to come. So his friends were still back in yeshiva, and they made the suda in honor of Rabbi Akiva Eiger's chasana, which is itself a strange thing. They do it today in Eretz Yisrael. When one of their friends gets married in America, and they're in Eretz Yisrael, they call Rabbi Akiva Eiger suda. They make a suda, nacha mitzvah, a chasna suda there. And at that chasna suda, someone spoke and said a long bar Torah, which they don't necessarily do in Eretz Yisrael today. And they sent Rabbi Akiva Eiger a copy of it. And he wrote to his uncle, "You're wrong." And they were arguing if ksiva kadibra dami. If you write out a shvua, if you write out sfira, sfira saimer, if ksiva kadibra dami. And it became a Eiger family staple. Anybody whose last name is Eiger or Sofer, so some Sofer was son in law, who has a tshuva, has some tshuva or other about ksiva kadibra dami. So it's an interesting question. Today, what? Eiger. Yeah, I'm forgetting which Eiger it was. I don't remember. But Wolf Eiger, maybe. He says it was Rav Wolf Eiger. There are five consecutive tshuvas in the Rav Akiva Eiger on it. He has his tshuva, his uncle's tshuva, his tshuva. It goes back and forth. Shlomo Eiger, I think Simon Aleph in the tshuvas. I think Simon Aleph has a tshuva about it. The Ksav Sefer and the Chasan Sefer, all the Sefers have tshuvas about it.
Texting definitely like
Rav Akiva Eiger doesn't discuss texting. No, your question is good. Is it the ksiva or is it the commitment?
Ksiva
shehu dibur. Okay. Anyway, getting back here, the question is a good question because sometimes you sign a paper promising to pay, it could be. I'm not sure. The way I understand Rabbi Akiva Eiger, if there's a piece of paper that says I pledge or even I promise, I swear, and you sign, I don't think that's ksiva kadibra dami. I really don't think so. I think that's you're signing your name. Ksiva kadibra dami means if you write the words, I swear to do this, it's like he said those words. I'm not sure that signing your name has a din of an oath. Anyway, let's see what the Ramah says. Mishachayev lechaveiroi, somebody owes money to his friend, v'nishba l'shalem loy, and he made a shul a shalim loy to pay him. Kol davar shashvius v'shametis pata gamkin l'shalim mekayach hashvua. You hear this? He made a shvuah. He didn't make any conditions. He just said, I promise to pay you the chayv. So there are two ways to translate what he said. If the shvuah is, I promise to pay the chayv, l'chayra, that shvuah should be, that's not hilchis chayshim hishvat. That's hilchis nidarim v'shvuahs. I would think that even if Shemitah passes, so you have no din mamin to pay, but you have a chiyuv al din shvuah to pay. Yet it says here, Kaldava Shashmiya Shvias Mishametes Patigamkein Lishale Mikayachashvua, the Loy Nishba Lishale Mrak Kozman Shachayev Mamin. We assume that his shvua is dependent or is conditional on there being a Chiyuv Mamin. Now that chiddush is really a chiddush gadol. That when a person makes a shvuah to do something that he has to do anyway, I would think you have to do it anyway. So if you're making a shvuah, you must be the kabbal more. So we don't assume that. We assume what?
He's
mushbevayimid, so it should include more. Shlomo Zalman has a fascinating tshuva. He sees everything in a kolayistic way. See, this is a good illustration. A person, it's coming Shavasa B'Tamuz. Someone made a shvuah to swear on Shavasa B'Tamuz. Now, swore to fast. Now, what did I say? Okay, take it back. He made a shvuah to fast on Shavasa B'Tamuz. Now, what's the difference? The halacha is that a chayla she'in by sakana is allowed to break his fast. If somebody has a fever on one of the other taneis and besides Yom Kippur, someone has a fever, there's no danger, there's no sakana. Somebody who's a chayla does not have to fast on Shavasa B'Tamuz. Someone who made a shvuah to do something, yeah, a chayla is not an excuse for a nisa deraisa. The chiyuv deraisa to keep your shvuah, you can't say, oh, I have a headache, I have a fever, that doesn't pater you. So Shlomo Zalman clears, what's the side of this Ramah? There are two ways you can understand this Ramah, that when a person makes a shvuah, every time he makes a shvuah, he only means to do what the Etzem Chiyav is. He's swearing Lazari's Asatzmai. To Mizar is itself to do the mitzvah. Nishpati v'akayema lishmar mishpatei tzedekecha. A person makes a shvuah to, like Yaakov Avinu, he swore that if Hashem is good to me, I'll give ma'aser. Yishkayach, every yid gives ma'aser. Like, well, it's a very hard thing to understand. Vayetze, it's a big thing. Right? He made it, he promised the rabbi, Nishalom, I'll give ma'aser. Every yid gives ma'aser. So the Pashtus is, and Rav Shua writes this in Dar Gadal Yo on Parshas Matos. He writes, the aside of all shvuas, the parsha of shvuas, is to be mezaris yourself to do a mitzvah. He has his klal b'shem Rav Tzadik, that everything in the Torah is defined by the first time you find it. He says the first time you find a shvuah in the Torah is by Yaakov. Someone once asked me a kasha, he found a different one, but anyway. Well, yeah, but anyway, this is what he says. The first shvuah is Yaakov Avinu making a shvuah. I guess it doesn't mean a shvuah ben mamachaveira. It means a shvuah to Rabbi Nishloel. So he's making a shvuah. The yisayit of a shvuah is nishpati v'kayeh malishma v'shvudei tzikecha. It's only to be mizariz himself. Since it's to be mizariz himself, we tie up his shvuah to fast the Shavasa B'Tamuz to be a shvuah to do what he's mechuyev to do. That's the pshat here. He makes a shvuah to pay his chayv. He doesn't mean to be mekabel new obligations. He means that which I'm obligated to do, I promise you I'll follow, fulfill my obligations. That's one way to understand. That's the Tshuvas Marit who explains this way. Shlomo Zalman brings this. This is in the Micha Shlomo Chelek Aleph Tshuva Nun Beis. That the aside is when someone makes a shvuah to do something that he has to do anyway, the Marit's aside is that his intention is to be mizaris himself. That's the lashon of the Ma'ariv. The mizaris, he doesn't mean to be mekabel additional things. Shlomo Zalman has a nice chap with this. When Moshe Rabbeinu was machnis klal Yisrael and Avi Smayev in a shvuah to keep the Torah, So Klai Yisrael made a shvua to do everything it says in the Torah. So Shlomo Zalman asks, so there's no such thing as a mitzvah saseh, as opposed to a mitzvah lais saseh. Keeping the shvua is an asay and lais saseh. It's both. There's a bal yachel, there's a lais saseh, there's a mitzvah saseh of doing what you did. So he said, what do you mean there's asay and lais saseh? Every mitzvah, once you swear to do the mitzvah, every mitzvah is an asay and a lais saseh. It's also. So Shlomo Zalman answers with this yisayid, that when you make a shvua to do what you have to do, it's the shvua follows whatever the Torah's obligation is. But if for some reason this is an assay, and an assay, you don't have to spend more than a certain amount of money. So the shvua is to do that, to do what the Torah obligates an assay. I for you, it's a lois assay. No, it's only I say to be lezaris atzmai, to keep what the Torah said. And says shvua lezaris atzmai, to keep what the Torah said. So therefore, you don't have to do more than if it was just a mitzvah saseh. If it's a lais saseh, the same thing. You swore to keep a lais saseh. Asay doich a lais saseh, still. Ah, you made the lais saseh into an asay. No. Your shvua is to do whatever the klalei ha-Torah are prior to your shvua. Now you're saying, I'm obligating myself to do that. So according to this understanding, it's a mechudesh tiki yisayid in dinei shvua, that any time a person makes a shvua on something which he's already obligated to do from the Torah, that the shvua is not more than what the Torah is mechayiv you. So if you make a shvua to pay a chayiv, and Shemitah passes, you're party. Only you swore to do what you have to anyway.
So really, wouldn't it be extraneous to say bli neder after you make such a shvua, because you have to do it anyway?
Well, what does it mean, I make a shvua bli neder? It's not the... It's not so pashy. In the Chiddush Reb Ruvein on the Darim, I think it's his first piece, maybe his second piece. He has a shtickle Torah. If you make a Kabbalah with a bli neder, if it has dina Kabbalah, it's an afkamina. Somebody's makabel tainus. If you want to swear, not let's say Bahab, let's say tomorrow's Bahab. So it needs a Kabbalah today, unless someone does it all the time. So you have to be Kabbalah, b'shas milcha, to fast tomorrow. Without a Kabbalah, it's not a tainus. So if someone makes a Kabbalah bli neder, so he's toiled in a machlaikis. It's interesting, there are letters from Rabbi Yashiv, Rabbi L'chaim Trachayim Knievsky, printed in Kovitz Tshuvas, where they disagreed on this point. Rabbi Yashiv said, what does it mean a Kabbalah bli neder? That's not a Kabbalah. Reb Chaim held that it is a Kabbalah. It's a Kabbalah, but you're afraid of the Chaimer of the Dorim, so you're doing it that way. It's funny. Okay. Look, I don't want to get sidetracked to that, but getting back to us, it's an interesting insight that when a stam person makes a shvua, the shvua is sort of subservient. It follows the obligations of the Torah. What? You hear the kasha? Is it tzais? Tzais says, what kind of zeros is it? If you're obligated to do it anyway, and then you make sure to do what the Torah says anyway, so what are you adding? The stipler has a piece on it. The stipler writes that, here I think three turutzim, they're all psychological turutzim. He says, if a person is obligated in the Torah to do something, he says, I don't have to do it. What's his excuse? Very few people say, I'll be a pesheya. They make an excuse. They say, him, pay him. You know, he doesn't pay anybody anyway. Or he's not a nice guy anyway. He's not a firm guy anyway. They have excuses. So Stapler writes that when you do a shvul azariz atzmai, you take away your excuses. Because your excuse is, he's a creep. I don't have to pay him. So, but if he's a creep, you have to keep your shvul. So that's the Stapler essential piece. But at any rate, it's an interesting idea that that was so interesting.
He doesn't do it. Is it over on the shvua?
It's a complicated question. The question is: if someone makes a shvua to shekel lulav, is he over? So really, the Mishnah says ein shvua chal al shvua. If someone swears twice, the second one's not chal. And since Yemush Bavayim Marasinai, So the second shua is really not chal. Which really is a raya, which Shlomzalman brings, it's a raya that we don't interpret the second shua to broaden his obligation. We interpret it just lazaris as atzmai. So Taisus says, so I, that's a Taisus kasha, so why, what's the purpose? So Stafla says there are many psychological reasons that people may do an aveira, but they won't be aver on a shua. You always have an obligation to pay back. You need a contract in case he denies it to be able to prove it. Right? If he's an honest person, so he'll pay you back. The purpose of a contract is to be able to prove it or to collect from Mishubadim in certain cases. But that's the reason. Or if you want to say it, maybe he'll forget. You say he'll deny it, you know, maybe he'll forget. Okay, and now it helps, yeah. There's a, I just had a Gemara in the Cheskes Habatim. Rami Bar Chama bought a shifcha together. It's b'shutfis. So they didn't let any one of them get a cheskas gimel shanim. So they switched off years because they're afraid that somebody has it for 3 years, they'll say it's his. So it's the strangest thing. They're going to say it's his. They were chayshed each other for stealing. So Taisus says they were chayshed shem yishkach. Somebody will forget. After 3 years, I'll forget that it was both b'shutfis. So if you want to be nice, you say Shema Yishka. Right. That's correct. Okay, let's move on to Siv Zion and come back. And I just found the Ramah and Siv Vav to be fascinating. Micha Shlevit to be fascinating. And what's even more fascinating is the second half talks about something that happens in Sefer Ezra. Because he brings that Kedusha Shnia, Kitchel Asad Lavai, that when he reinstituted Trumas U'Maisris, that was Mekayach HaShvua, Techa Kabbalah. And then he starts talking about whether Trumas U'Maisris, Bizman Ezeh, why are they Durabbanan? If they made a Shvua to keep Trumas U'Maisris, it should be a Deraisa. So he says, even when someone makes a Shvua to do a Durabbanan, it remains a Durabbanan. A Shvua is only meant for whatever the Torah obligates, that's my Shvua. I just wondered, why does he have a yid who's an amoritz? He doesn't know anything. He makes a shvua. A frum yid says, I owe you money, I promise to pay. He knows Shemitah comes. So we say he doesn't mean to accept more than the Torah. What about a yid that's never heard of Shemitah? Or not aware that Shavas Batam is a chayil is allowed to eat? Is it an umdana that if he would know, he would mean it? Or is it a... There's halach in Hilchos Shvuos. If you're mekabel to do something, you do it 3 times, you have a mind, do it forever. And later you find out it's not a Ikar HaDin, it's a Chumrah. You thought it's Ikar HaDin. And you find out that it's a Chumrah, it's not a Ikar HaDin. So it says in Yeridaya that the Teshuva is not Chal. The fact that you did it 3 times, I'll ask to always do it, it's not Chal. The question is, why is it not Chal? If you should at least need Hataras Nadarim, you have a Pesach. Had I known it was a Chumra, I wouldn't have been a Kabbal. Why is it not Chal? I can't hear you. And Hagatayva that you know is a Chumra and you're a Kabbal is binding. And Hagatayva, let's say someone thinks Chalavakum is Ikar HaDin. And then he knows Ramosh's Tshuva, and now he finds out it's not Ikar HaDin. So it's not a Kabbalah. Ramosh writes this in the Tshuva. It's not a Kabbalah. If he knows it's a Chumrah and he's Makabal, so then it's a binding oath. But if he did it thinking that it's Ikar HaDin, it's really a Chumrah, it's not binding. Why is that so? According to this, I can understand it. When a person is Makabal to do something that he's supposed to do for Frumkeit reasons, so he's Makabal to do that which the Torah is Machayev. That's his Lashon. That when he makes a shvua, kol dava shashur shemetes pati gam kein lishalim mikayach shvua the gam nishba the loy nishba rak calls man shchayim mamid loy nishba lishalim rak calls man shchayim mamid. His obligation was not more than what the Torah obligates him to do. It's an interesting. It seems to be an umdina, even if a person is not aware. still, the shvuah is only, a person only needs to do that which the Torah expects him to do. And the shvuah is limited to that, even though he didn't say it. He doesn't need a Torah Sadar. It's automatic. Yeah, but you go to pay, and he says, Meshamed Ani. So, you say, Ashkayach. You're allowed to say Yashkayach. It's Racham Nechem and Otsaf Al Pikain, but it's not Ikradin. The Shvuah is to do what the Torah obligates me. If the Torah says when I come to pay him, he says Meshamed Ani, I'm allowed to accept it. So the Shvuah is only that which the Torah is Mechayim. Okay, Siv Zayin. Get more to some practical halachas of Shemitas Kesafim. Siv Zayin Hilveyu V'Tavai. The Kafar. Somebody lent someone money. He said, pay me, and he denied it. V'Nishba Loi. And he swore, I don't owe you money. Now, Bezdin makes a person swear. So you have to know, there's something called the Shvuas Heses. I remember we discussed it. There are three Shvuas Daraisa. What are the three Daraises? Shvuas HaShomrim, Eid Echad, and Moed B'Miktzas. There are three types of Shvuas. There are three, only three Shvuas are Daraisa. Moed B'Miktzas, he's swearing against an Eid Echad, and Shvuas HaShomrim. Which was Hades? What? The chiyuv to swear is their eyes. Okay, could be. That's, and then there are four, I stand corrected. But at any rate, Shvuas Heses, no, you bring a carbon if you swear. But there's a, okay, I stand corrected. The Shvuas Heses is a shvuah from the time of Rav Nachman. It doesn't exist in the Mishnayis. It doesn't exist in the first generation of Amiraim, Rav Shmuel, Rav Yechanan. It's in the second generation. Rav Nachman made a takana. It doesn't sit well with everybody, but he made a takana that anybody who's teveya you, he has no rayas. He goes to Bezdin, he says, you owe me money, that you have to swear a shvuas heses that you don't owe him the money. Ain't adam teveya l'en ken yeshlei.
He said,
well, that's not 100% true. The Rav Nachman's takana was, ain't adam teveya l'en ken yeshlei. If there's an umdina, let's say he says I pay tazmanai, and if there's an umdina, I pay tazmanai, you're exempt. But generally speaking, there's something called the shvuas heses. If someone's tevei you, you have to swear a shvuas heses. Now, if you refuse to swear, you get away with it. You don't have to pay. But Bezdin pressures the person to swear. So back to the Shulchan Aruch. Uveyu v'tavei v'kafar v'nishbalai. He lent him money. He's teveya. He denied it and he swore. V'igia shmita. And he's still denying it. And then after Shmita passes, he's Maida. I bow Edim. All witnesses came. What's going on? At the time Shmita passed, the man had not only denied it between you and him, but had denied it in Bezdin at swore. And there's a Pesach Bezdin, he doesn't have to pay. And later on, it turns out he was lying. Shvita is not Mishamit. Why would you say? Why is Shvita not Mishamit? What?
It's like a new loan.
He didn't have a loan. Even though Kapi Shmaya, he did have a loan. So it's very interesting that you say this. It's interesting. Let's see. Let's see what it's. I'll show you. Let's finish the Mechaber. He says, Avol Koshbar V'nishba V'hoida Achakach. Oy shabo edim kaidim say shmita shvius. How is that mishametas? Look at the language of the Taz Tezayin. The Taz says, why is this so? Kafav shvuas edim mishamit hatam da b'shash shmita kimish kvar nishba loy hoye lamava olav shum chayv va'achar shmita kishay da havalei kavah chadasha. Mamish, what you were saying. He says it's like a new avoy afterwards when he's made. When Shemitah passed, the chayv was gone, and after Shemitah, when he's made, it's avoy chadasha. Mashenki shahid kaidim Shemitah, a Shemitah ba'acharei da mishametas says avoy chadasha. To me, I thought it was a peldik smah. The smah says it's like a new loan. Really, it's like a new loan. You're just admitting that you have the old loan. not really a new loan. It's but that's what he says. He's, the smaz loshin is havale kalva chadasha. It's like a new halva. What? Is it really a new chayiv if someone's maida? I would assume the mishubadim are mishubim from before. He's a crook and he got away with it. It's certainly mishubim from before. Why would? Because he's admitting that he lied all along. And the truth is, he borrowed money in 2015. So, what? They patted him under false pretenses. They patted him. If Bezdin patters him and he goes to Shemayim and they say, "Why didn't you pay?" He says, "Bezdin patted me." He's not going to get away with that. He fooled the Bezdin. Bezdin patted him based on his lie. The lashon of the Yerushalmi. So that I would understand. It's lo yigais. It's yefsha. Lo yigais means don't collect. He can't collect anyway. I would understand that. The smaz loshin that it's alva chadasha is something of a chiddush. Yerushalmi's loshin. When this halacha is in Yerushalmi says that he switched. He was a malva. The nasa kafronis. Now this is brought in the gra. The gra. You'll see. The gra brings it. It's of cut and chav. Now the gra may be arguing with the smaz. He doesn't say he's arguing. But the gra, it's of cut and chaf, which is on the second column next to the last line. Hilveyu Yerushalmi, milva venasa kafronis eina mishametes. Kafronis means a ganiv. A kafronis, somebody who a liar, somebody who denies things.
It's a woman ganiv.
So, aren't they all? The milva venasa kafronis means that it's no longer milva. Now it's a ganeva. Shemitah is not Mishamet a Geneva. If someone robs a bank and Shemitah passes or robs a house, Shemitah passes, you still have to pay. Shemitah is only Kovah Mashe Yodai. It's only things that you lent.
The government holds a bailout. What's the difference?
What?
The government holds a bailout.
What's that got to do with Shemitah? The government can pay whatever they want. They print up the money.
They can't pay it, and they say the government bails out.
Anyway, I'm talking about a chayv. The government's not bailing me out. It's, you know, maybe if I put some blackface on, they'll bail me out.
A guy who
secured
loan.
What?
Secured loan, and he has new property which he gets after Shemitah.
We'll talk about it. Right now, we're talking about a person who has a chayv and he denies it, and Shemitah passes. What? It's a chayv. They're dinim bein adam lamakayim in chayvais. I don't understand. I lent someone money, and I have no shtar, no edim. Okay, I'm in the store. Someone says, "Lend me $20." I lend the $20. It's not enforceable. It's a milval pair. I have no shtar. I have no edim. It's not a chayv. Shemitah is not mishamet. It certainly is. It certainly is. It could be, as long as he's a from Yid, the assumption is that that he's not going to be kaifer. You realize the Mechaber said only if he kaifer and he swears, he gets off the hook.
Yes, if he doesn't pay back, if
he's lying, then Shemitah is Meshamet. The Shulchan Aruch sounds like, in all cases, that he denies that Shemitah is not Meshamet. It's very hard to say the Mechaber is talking only in certain cases. Very, very difficult.
He denies
the what?
He denies the law. Is he a gossip?
Why? It's Kineva. If you have some money, you deny it. You're not a ganiv in the sense of Vigzla Sachanismi at a mitzvah. At the time Shemitah passed, it was Tvias Kineva. And Kineva is
not sure.
According to the Gra, why do you have to make it sure? Even if you go, well, it may be true. Some Rishayim hold you don't have to make it sure. Some Dari Rishayim hold you don't need a sure. So I'm not sure about this Machlokes the Gra and the Sma. Reb Chaim Knievsky in Derech Amunah brings it as a Machlokes, the Sma's Pshat, and he calls it Yerushalmi. And then he says, "Ulai David Achasi." Maybe they mean the same thing. Sure. Maybe they. It's hard to say. The Sma is arguing with the Yerushalmi, which is the source of this din. So it's hard to know. But there are Rishayim that say even if you didn't swear in Bezdin, not like the Mechaber, even if you didn't swear, Shemitah is not Mishamit, and you didn't get an official Ptur in Bezdin, there's still Mechaev you a Hesis, and the Shemitah is not Mishamit, you're already a Ganev, you denied it, and yeah, the person has the name of a Ganev, of a Gazlan, whatever title you want to give him. So the halach is clear, and the bior is, it's interesting that you use the lashon, it's like a new chayv afterwards, it's interesting lashon, I thought it was it's a new chayv, it's the same old chayv. It's not okay. I would think not. I would think, the person better run to Bezdin. Shemitah is going to be Mishamit. If he's Mesarev and doesn't. What? If someone's Mesarev, he says, I don't want to pay now, I'm not sure. I mean, he's doing the wrong thing. That's not the language. Kafronis is Kaifer. Yerushalmi definitely is talking about a Kaifer. Kafronis. But he's some place to drag along the person. I don't know. I don't think we'll bump into it. Who knows? Maybe we will. A Sivches. Tavai Mamin Vekafar Vedi Adim Vechevu Bebezdin. Someone who denied it and lost it in Torah. The Kosvoloi Psagdin, and Bezdin wrote a Psagdin that he owes the money. Have a Kagovi Veina Mishamit. Okay, this is a klal in Shas that Maisa Bezdin Kagovi Dami. What this means, someone denies it and loses it in Torah. Not only does it becomes a halvah, it's not a Geneva because he didn't get away with it, but once it's a Maisa Bezdin, once it's a Psag Bezdin, it's Kagavri. The Sma Yud Zayin explains. Kosolai Psakin. It's similar to a Prozbul. The Chol Maisa Bezdin Kagavri Dami. Everything that's a Maisa Bezdin is Kagavri, and he requires that Bezdin wrote the Psak, and they once they write the Psak, it's Kagavri. So he says not. The Sma says it has to be a Psak. A Sif Tes is a famous Sif because it's Makis Daf Gimel, and here we go. Hamal ve'eschaveiroi v'his ne'imoi shloi tashmiten mishmiris. Now some people talk about business on Shabbos and say Nishna Shabbos Geret. So may get tonight that I'll talk about business, but it shouldn't be an aveira. Does that work? So it depends. Okay. Then you don't have to say Nishna Shabbos Geret. You can't make it tonight. I'm going to do an Aveira under tonight. That's not an Aveira. You put on Shatnez and say, I'm an us that I'm not over the Nisha. It's ridiculous. So Shulchan Aruch says the following. How is that Nishrat? You can't make it tonight that Shemit is not Mishabit. Now that half is easy. Aval. Im his the Ima Shlo Yishamit hu Chayv Zeh. If the deny is that you're not going to enforce the rules of Shvius, even though you're entitled to, Tanoi Kayim, Shenimsa Shechiv Asmei B'mamen Shleichavasei Taira Shehu Chayiv. It's a chiddush of the Gemara there. The Gemara says that if you make it Tanai, Amen Oshleish Tashmiteini Shvius, the Shmita is not Mishamit, that does nothing. If you use the language that means that you will not enforce your rights. You have a right to force me to say Mishamed Ani. I'm doing it on Tanai that you don't exercise your right. So on that, it's Chal. Now why is it Chal? It's still Masna Mashkasa B'Taira. Shalei Chayvas this is not the typical understanding of Amenashal Tashmitene Bishviyas. He's saying is he's like creating a new chayv. That's what he's saying. Now you have to sort of look at the depths of the machshava of a person. You're lending me money. You're telling me, look, next year Shemitah, you want to make a loan. I'm afraid I'm going to lose this money. So I'm doing a condition, you don't enforce your rights of Shemitah. So it's chal. They can't do that. You can't say, I'll lend you money, give me ribbis. I'm going to ask, you don't enforce your ribbis rights. That's not chal. Ribbis is there, so on both of them. A person can't pay ribbis. But Shemitah, a person could say, now what's he saying exactly? He can't change the Torah. So the language of the Mechaber, which is the language of the Rambam, is that he's saying, I'm going to create a new chayv. Shemitah will be mishamet the old chayv, but I'm lending you the money on the condition that we create a new chayv when that passes. Now, what?
The first shibud betal.
So what really happens is the first shibud ends, and the second is chal. That's what it sounds like. Now, this is not the usual understanding. Usually we understand, and Taisus Ksubis and Daf Nun Vav learns the way most people explain it, that he's saying this chayv should survive Shemitah. How could it survive Shemitah? Shemitah's coming. Condition that you do it. How does that work? So Taisus Ksubis, the Rabbi Kiva Eger, in his Pirush on the Mishnah, is at the end of the sixth parak of Peah, explains that since there's a way to do it, that Shemitah is not Mishamit. I could do, if it's a Pekadon, Shemitah is not Mishamit. So I can make it tonight. It's if Shemitah passes, this should be a Pekadon. It's not the word that be a Pekadon. The word is it should work with a method that supersedes Shemitah. Now, this, which I think is the conventional understanding, is that somehow the tonight works. Conventionally, we understand that the original Chayv, he lent him money, 2022, Tavshin Pei Bezah Shemitah. Lent the money in Tashin Pei Aleph, Amenosh, and Tashin Bishiris. Tashin Pei Beis passes, comes Tashin Pei Gimel, says pay. So you have to pay. Are you paying the Tashin Pei Aleph Chayv or a new Chayv? Like I said, conventional thinking, if you learn Makis, the conventional thinking is that somehow the Tanai works, but that the Tashin Pei Aleph Chayv continues. The language of the Mechaber, which is the language of the Rambam, is not that way. He says, "Shenimtzu shechayev asam b'mam shechayev asitayr shulchayev." It's a new chayev. Now the Ktzais explains this, but not here on this page. The Ktzais in your photostat, you have to turn to the last page. The last Ktzais of Kot Neches on the bottom. I'm going to start from the second line of the Ktzais because the Shaykh is the end of the siman. I'll tell you later. The Ktzais explains the Siv test. Venira. Okay, you have it? It's the second line of Tzai's Ches. Venira. Kivan shem hister shloya shmitenu shmiyas. Loi mahani. Davamasa mashkasa betayra. Kivan shihista ala shmita gufa. If it's not on shmita, shmita shouldn't work. That doesn't work. Elo. Ba'imr al minas shloya shametu. Chayv zeh mahani tanai. See, our condition that you're not mishamet achayv, it works. The koy al alayv, it goes on the gavra, right? I'm not shleit tashmiteni shviyas goes on shmita. I'm just telling you, bishviyas goes on you. You're not going to enforce it. The kavayshkas of a rambam shulchan aruch siv tes. Now listen what he says. Nimtza shechayev asmei b'mam shleit chayvasei atayre shulchayev. It's the language of shulchan aruch. B'kiman detnai zeh loy nichta b'sech hashtar. This Tanai is not in the Tavshin Pei Aleph Shtar. The Tavshin Pei Aleph Shtar is one loan, and now he's making a new loan. El Baal Peh, it's like a Tanai Baal Peh. El Baal Peh, Hava Tanai. Im Kein Enye Elokim Ischayiv Al Peh Lefroya Achashvias. You know what he's saying? In Tavshin Pei Aleph, I lend you money with a Shtar. Al Menosh Lei Tashviteini Bishvias. Shemitah passes. The Ktzai says, that chayv is dead. That chayv is gone. The chayv shtar is over. Now, in Tashin Pei Gimel, there's a newest chayvis, chayv bal peh, and now you have to pay the chayv bal peh. I say, what am I mishubadim from the shtar in Tashin Pei Av? Doesn't work. That's gone. What's the case he's talking about? Let's say I sell you debt. Halacha, recognizes selling bonds, selling debt, even at a discount. It's not ribbis to sell debt. Somebody owes me money. He owes me $1,000, payable in a year. I can't wait the year. So I tell somebody, give me $900, and I'll give you the $1,000 chayv. So what am I doing? I'm getting $900 and giving up $1,000. The Rambam calls it a dova hanira karibis ve'ene ribis. As you can say, it's ribis. Give me $900. At the end of the year, I'll give you $1,000. It's not ribis. Chazal recognized that selling debt is a real sale. You can sell money that's over. You need a kinyan. If I transfer money, I give it to you. You pick it up. You kind of. How do you sell debt? So the halacha is, you sell debt by transferring the document, by taking the shtar, and you sign the back of the shtar, or you write on the shtar that it's sold. The handing over of the shtar, or if it's a pay to bearer shtar, you don't even need to write anything. You just give it to the person, and that's a kinyan on the chayv. This is the way they do it. Maybe there are other ways of doing it. I'm not familiar with all the ways. But this is the method of selling the shtar chayv. Now listen to what the Ktzai says. Well, give me a second. The Ktzai says, I lent someone $1,000 in Tavshin Pei Aleph. Okay? He's supposed to pay me back. He doesn't pay me back. Tavshin Pei Gimel. He owes me the $1,000. I go over to someone. I say, look, I need the money. I'll sell you the debt. I sell him the shtar. I sold him nothing. That shtar is meaningless. Because that shtar was nishmat already. Shmita is mishamet that chayv. That chayv is gone. There's a new chayv, bal peh, post shmita, and that I didn't sell. So the Ktzai says that the Rambam in Shulchan Aruch should be taken literally. It's a new chayv. If you learn like Tosis and Ksubis, which again, I think is the conventional way, you look in the Mefarshim and in Makas Dav Gimel, usually we understand, Amadash Lai Tashritan Bishriyas means that the Chayv survives Shemitah, because this Tanai works. We normally look at it that there's a way of making the Tavshin Pei Aleph Chayv survive Shemitah, because it's Kilu, I said, it should be like a Pekadon, like Taisa says in Ksubis. That, we don't pass it that way. It comes out Lahalacha, it's not that way. Amalash Lai Tashritani Bishvias is, it creates a new chayv. That's the way Mechaber, the Rambam, the Mechaber, the Ksais is passing it that way. It's not the conventional thinking. The Maila is that it's more understandable. Because Lamaisi, Yamasta Mashgasa B'Taira, so we say, no, Shemitah is Mishamit. You're creating a new chayv later. And this is true even for a person who never learned the Ksais. You have a person who never learned all this. And he makes it tonight. We say it's automatic. That's the interpretation, I guess, of this halachic term, this legal term. We interpret it to mean that it creates a nucha.
Is that the
Pashuk
way of learning the Rambam and the Shulchan
Aruch? The Ksais learns it that way, and it's faithful to the literal translation. Does the Arav in the original loan carry over? Probably not. Yeah.
So why is it worthless? Why is it really important? Even after the Shabbat,
when a person says Afal Pikein, it's he's not obligated to say it. Rucham Lechemen, he's supposed to say Afal Pikein. Yeah. So obviously, if you have a person that's going to say Afal Pikein, oh, you mean that should be the definition of the Tanai?
Yes.
I'm making a Tanai that you say Afal Pikein. So if Afal Pikein becomes an obligation, then Mishamadani is meaningless. If Afalikain is an obligation, then what does that mean? Mishamed Ani is meaningless. If you're obligated to say Afalikain, that's what it's saying.
Well, say it's worth nothing, right? It's not worth nothing. Because if some person who owes the money, go to the drug, the money goes to the visa, it's not worth
nothing. So you're telling me something else, without it tonight. Any shtar that Shemitah passed. It's only worth nothing when Shemitah passed, and he said Mishamed Ani, and the person said, okay. Because the person said Afal Pikein, there would be no din Torah. He would just pay him. So we're talking about selling the shtar post Shemitah. Obviously, if you would have said Afal Pikein, there would be no reason to sell the shtar. Or he'd pay. I mean, he didn't go to him yet. Okay, I hear. I don't know.
What about the Shigulim?
It's all gone, and it's a big chiddush. When you learn this sugya, now there's a the stipler, Yekil Siakiv Amakis, has a big kasha on this ketzais, on called the ketzais called the Rambam. He says shmita is mishamet every chayv. If I have a chayv with a bunch of conditions, it's also mishamet. He says, hey, I have a man borrow money in Tavshin Pei Aleph. He obligated himself twice. He said, I obligate myself with the shtar to pay you. I also obligate myself that when Shemitah passes, I'm creating a new chayv, that when Shemitah passes, I have to pay you. So the stipler says, why is the Shemitah Mishamit the second obligation also? If you're learning, like the Tzais and the Rambam seem to learn, that really, they're learning that really tonight doesn't work. But you're creating a new chayv. Now, you're obligating yourself today to create a new chayv. If you say, I don't want to do it day after Shemitah, they're not going to help you. Because there's an obligation from today to create a new chayv on that day. It's not collectible. Okay, that could be a terrorist. I think a stipler is the tzadi that way. Even though it's an extension of something that is collectible, but I think that's what he says. But anyway, this is it. The Pischei Tshuva here brings an interesting kasha. He says, why did Hillel have to make a prosbul? Why did Hillel make a prosbul? He said, people are not lending money because Shemitah is going to be Mishamit. And first of all, it's an Aveira. It's a hard mitzvah in the Torah. There's a lav in the Torah, Shmar Lecha, the Torah says, Penyeh Davar and Levavka Belial. Now listen to this. Does this sound Belial? A person comes to you, Shemitah Mishamet at the end. That means next year, Rosh Hashanah, Shemitah Mishamet. Someone comes to you in Elul, he says, do me a favor, can you lend me $10,000? Now, there'd be no prosbul. He said, can you lend me $10,000? So you're thinking to yourself, I'll lend him $10,000, Shemitah's coming. So you know what, I'll lend you money the day after Rosh Hashanah. So the Torah says, don't do that. Yishama lecha, pel yadav gom lebi'al. That you're going to say, I'm not going to lend you money? Don't do that. So Chazal say that Hillel saw that this was a problem, that that people were not lending money. I think it's the Rambam's Lashon, that when he introduces Prozbul, I'll say it's the Mechaber's Lashon, that he saw people were not lending money, they're over, so he introduced Prozbul. So the kasha is, why do you need Prozbul? Just tell everyone what to say. Al menosh lo tashmiteni bishmiyus. What?
This way, with the
pistol,
you can sell the
shtar. With the pistol, you can sell the shtar. Okay, look at the
pistol.
What?
You will be masculine.
What? Okay, that's a good answer. Look at the Pischei Tshuva base. Pischei Tshuva base, back to the page we're up to. Pischei Tshuva base. Ayin b'sefer t'vushar b'chidusha sh'b'sefer sefer. I'm a sech t'smachin. T'vushar is really a sefer on Hilchah Shechita, on Yerideya. But in the back, he has a section called Bechar Shar. That sefer is on the halal, on Shulchan, on Yishas. L'chari yikalamedik. In Cain, am I hut shechilol a second prosbul? Why does Hillel have to make a prosbul? You could just say, Abba Lashay Tashmitei Mishmiyas. V'nira li do lekosha midi. The be'emes, kishoya haloi v'amirutza luvais b'tanai zeh, lo yetzarech yaisu. You're right. If the loiva agrees to the tanai, you don't need a prosbul. Aval im kishabar loiva lulvais v'amalva loiratza kiim b'tanai sheshmitenu. The loiva says, "I'm not lending you money unless you say you agree to shloi tashmiteni b'shmiyas." V'loiva loiratza lahaskel b'tanai zeh. Metekach nimna. He doesn't agree to the tanai. Nimna hamalva lavoisai. Malva didn't agree to lend it to him. Biyad loiva ali shama lecha the gaimer. So he's going to be over an Aveira. But by making a prosbul, it doesn't depend on the laiva. And he lends it to him without a tanai. Prosbul milsa goes on to the next page. Actually goes on 2 pages later. Prosbul milsa achris on the bottom. He says that's why it's misak in the wealthy people, they shouldn't be ever on a lot. That's one teretz. The Bechor Hashar's teretz is for practical reasons. He won't always agree to the Tanai. Now look what he brings on some cipher. Va'ayim b'tshuva some cipher a simukuf yigimel midvar of nira. Listen to what he says. Afilu im aloy v'merutza va'amal v'amal v'loy b'tanai zu b'tanai zeh ovid yisura amashamas nekein va'ayver amashakasa b'tarif yiyadavra v'avavcha b'liyal. You know what he's saying? Amindoshay tashritani bishvius works b'di'evit. If you did it, it works. Listen to what the Torah obligates a person. A person comes to me and says, let me $10,000. I'm thinking, I'm not going to get this money back. So I tell him, Amindoshay tashritani bishvius. Some sefer holds, a person who does that is Avera and Avera. Why is he saying, Amindoshay tashritani bishvius? Because otherwise he doesn't want to lend him. So some sefer shita is that he's over an iser because of ilaf hachi le yitzarchel a second prusbul shem nimnon lahalvois efshul lahastes came. Why don't you just make it tonight? B'shas halvoi alak korchad igufa havelay davar b'liyal. So what? Where's the makar? Some sefer. Sorry, he holds that's it. Sorry. If someone says, lend me, and you don't want to lend him because of Shemitah, only if he agrees to it tonight, so that's Amidah. This is why it sounds unsafe. Now, he ends the Tema. You write the no, so the loan you did 100%. B'shas halva, you did the loan. A month later, came Erev Rosh Hashanah, you decided to write a prosbul. But b'shas halva, you did a full halva. You didn't write the prosbul then. Later, you decided to write a prosbul. Okay, I hear the cash. I think that's the difference.
Why is now, Noel Bella supplying? Maybe 30 days before it would be
b'shamim. Let me get to that one second. Just, he ends with the words, Pesachei Tshuva writes on the B'char Sham Sefer, the Tema. That's not such a big kasha. The Bedek Habayis, the Beis Yosef, added later in his life pieces to the Beis Yosef. Not so many. He added pieces and he called the Bedek Habayis. Then he quotes that the Bechor Shor some Sefer Achrayim. He quotes a Rishon, the Ritva Makas Dav Gimel and Beis, which apparently was not so readily available to all the Achrayim. He asks the kasha. Ritva asks, why make a prosbul? He says a very practical answer. He says, you lend someone money. I gave an example, it's a month or two before Rosh Hashanah. So he's lending the person money 5 years earlier. And you're not thinking about Shemitah. You lend the money and you think he'll pay you in a year or two. And that money, he doesn't pay you. Time goes by. He says that to Ritva, if you're going to say I'm l'shei tasheni b'shvius, you're not always going to think of it b'shas halva, because many times you lend someone money and it doesn't dawn on you that he's still going to owe you the money when Shemitah passes. What?
I said I'm going to pay you back in a month.
Pay in a month, a year.
I don't expect
you speak like a man with experience, but not everyone thinks of saying I'm l'shei shvius. Prosbul is a milah. You don't have to think of it b'shas halva. Just the way you didn't think of it. What's prosbul? It's going to come next year in September, and everyone's going to say, oh, someone owes me money, I write a prosbul. So the Ritva says Hillel did it for practical reasons. Not only is the Ritva, we have today the Ramban and Gittin, the Aflamid Vav. The Ramban and Gittin says the same Teretz. At least two Rishayim. The Chinuch also says this. We have three Rishayim that say this Teretz. The Chsamsev is Chiddish, that there's some sort of Avera, seems to be Mufrach from these Rishayim that he probably didn't have. The Chinuch he probably had, but the Ritva, the Ramban on Gittin, he may not have had. The Ritva on Makkavim, he almost certainly didn't have. So we have Rishayim that say that it's okay to say, I'm not sure Tashvitani Rishayim, and Hill would have done it, but there was sort of a practical reason not to do it. So that's their answer. I guess that's the answer that carries the day, because the Rishayim against especially individual achrayim don't outweigh. Let's learn the Ramah and continuing Siftes. Ramah on the bottom line, back to the page that has Siftes. V'chein im kasa b'shtar losha pikadin eina mishametes. If you write a losha pikadin in the shtar, when you're lending someone money, you say, I'm giving you money to hold for 2 years, and then give it back. Eina mishametes, the lahi kasa losha pikadin. That's the reason to write a losha pikadin. Shlo yishamet. It should be yishamet, even though you're Michael, I'm using it. If Nago Lichtov came Bishtaris, listen to what he says. In the minig is to write such a clause in all shtaris. You have a community, that's the minig, to write Pekadin or to write Amanas. Ubishtar echad leinimtza, kach, and in one shtar it wasn't found, loy amrinan davekilu nichtav. We don't say it's as if they wrote it. Abishin shar devarim amrinan, okay? Now it means like this, there's a sugi in the Gemara, hope it rings a bell, Achrayis. Tos Sefer. Sugi in the Gemara, Achrayis Tos Sefer. Achrayis Tos Sefer means this. When somebody lends someone money b'shtar, it's usually b'achrayis. If you listen, when they read the Ksuba under the under the chuppah, when they read the Ksuba, it says there are loshin that I'm konach soye arvo, and that he's meshabed everything. B'chayev, b'osachayev, b'yavid, then arvo, lahalon, he's b'chayev all his shibudim. Typically, someone lends money and he writes a shtar, he means that this should be mishubadim. Gemara has a machlaikis. We pass an achrayis tas sefer. Achrayis tas sefer means if you wrote a shtar, you left out the clause that kamar karka is mishubid. We assume it's a tas sefer. Now, if they both agree that they did it deliberately, then they did it deliberately. But otherwise, typically we say achrayis tas sefer. So Ramah is saying that that rule does not extend to places where it's the custom to write a clause that shmita is not mishamit, either lashon pekad or lashon amanos shay tashmitaini, and for that reason, if it's left out, we say it's left out, then shmita is mishamit. There's a minig that's brought in the achrayim that after you write what, you can't make the tonight later. Yeah, the achrayis is tos sefer. Until shmita kicks in, everything is the way it is. Right, because you pass achrayis tos sefer. There's a minig that when you write a prosbul, usually people write a prosbul the last minute. Prosbul is only effective to loans that preceded the prosbul. If you write a prosbul today and you want it to be effective for a shoshana, it will be effective, but only on loans that were before today. Subsequent loans, you didn't give it to Beth. So typically, people write a prosbul Erev Hashanah, sometimes 2 days before Hashanah. So as part of our Torah Nedarim, we do Erev Hashanah, they write a prosbul. There's a minig, I know the Ben Ishchai brings it, but I think others bring it, that after you write a prosbul, you lend someone money. Why are you lending him money? You want to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Shemitah's Ksafim, the Maisa, it's a mitzvah de Reisa. So you wrote the prosbul, and now you lend somebody money, and that will be Mishamit. The meaning in our shul is everyone lends it to the Rav. If you write a prosbul, everyone lends somebody to the Rav, and Shemitah's Mishamit. So, Akasha is Stam Alva Shleshim Yayim. Shemitah's not Mishamit alone that didn't come due. So why does it help to give a person a loan Erev Hashanah, 12 hours before Rosh Hashanah, and it's not due yet? It's not due.
Also 29 days before also.
What?
Right. Prusel 29 days before also.
But if you write a second prusel, it's going to be...
No, first prusel 29 days before.
Okay. All right, so it's a cash, we'll come to next week.